This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. What to say when apologies have already been made, but the problem keeps recurring? When sorry stops working, the real conversation still hasn't happened yet. In short, when apologies have already been made, but the problem keeps recurring, the apology was never the real conversation. The cycle continues because something underneath the behaviour has not been named or addressed. Accepting repeated apologies without naming the pattern signals that apologies are enough. The conversation you need is not about what happened. It is about what keeps making it happen. A specific, observable commitment is the only thing that breaks the cycle. Definition: recurring problem apologies occur when the same workplace behaviour is repeatedly followed by an apology that does not produce lasting change. The apology functions as a social reset rather than a genuine repair, leaving the underlying cause of the problem intact, and the trust between people quietly eroding. You had the conversation, they apologised, you accepted it, and moved on. Then it happened again, and they apologised again, and somewhere in the third or fourth round you started to feel something that was harder to name than frustration. It was something closer to hopelessness. When recurring problem apologies become a pattern in your working life, the instinct is to assume the person is simply not serious. But in my experience, it is rarely that simple. Most people apologising repeatedly are not cynical. They're caught in something they have not yet understood about themselves, and the conversations being had around them are not reaching it. The signs that tell you the cycle has taken hold are specific and recognisable. This article will help you name them and give you a clear first move toward breaking them. Why the cycle feels impossible to break. There is a particular cruelty in this situation. Each apology feels like progress. The person looks genuinely remorseful, the tension lifts, and you feel the relief of resolution. Then the same thing happens again. The reason this is so hard to catch early is that apologies are socially powerful. We are conditioned to treat them as closure. When someone says they are sorry and appears to mean it, challenging the apology feels unkind. It can even feel aggressive, so we accept it. Again and again. And the cycle embeds itself a little deeper each time. By the time most people recognise the pattern for what it is, they have already had three or four rounds of it. The trust has been eroding quietly the whole time, and now the conversation that needs to happen carries the weight of everything that was not said before. Six signs the apology has become a substitute for change. 1. The apology arrives before you've finished describing the problem. What it looks like, you start to raise the issue and before you've said more than a few sentences, the person says, I know, I'm sorry. The conversation closes before it has opened. Why it happens? Apology has become a practiced exit. The person has learned, consciously or not, that expressing remorse stops the discomfort faster than engaging with the substance of what you're raising. Why it matters? You never get to the actual problem. The behaviour continues because nothing beneath the surface has been examined. If you accept the early apology, you're training the pattern to continue. What to do? Hold your ground. Say, I appreciate that, and I need us to stay with this for a few more minutes. I want to understand what is getting in the way. Do not let the apology end the conversation. See feedback conversation mistakes to avoid when addressing a recurring behaviour problem at work for more on the specific trap. This is the one that catches experienced managers off guard. The apology sounds cooperative. It is not. 2. The commitment made after the apology is vague. What it looks like. When you ask what will be different this time, the answer is something like I will do better or I will be more careful. No specific action. No time frame. No way to measure it. Why it happens. Vague commitments are emotionally easier to make and harder to be held to. They feel like promises without functioning as them. Why it matters. Without a specific, observable commitment, you have no shared reference point for the next conversation. The problem recurs, and the person can genuinely believe they tried. What to do? Slow the conversation down and ask for precision. What specifically will you do differently, and by when? Insist on an answer that both of you can point to when you next check in. I've said I will do better myself more times than I care to admit. I meant it every time. It changed nothing, because I had not named what better actually required of me. 3. The conversation always returns to their intentions rather than their impact. What it looks like. Each time the behaviour comes up, the explanation centres on what they meant to do, how hard they are trying, or why the circumstances made it difficult. The effect on you or the team barely gets acknowledged. why it happens. Intentions feel like the most honest and defensible part of the story. Focusing there is not dishonest. It is self-protective. But it keeps the conversation away from what actually needs to change. Why it matters. Impact is what damages working relationships and team function. Good intentions do not and do real harm. If the conversation never reaches impact, the behavior never gets properly connected to its consequences. What to do? Acknowledge the intention briefly, then redirect. I believe you did not mean for this to happen, and I want us to look at what it created for the rest of the team. Keep the conversation anchored to observable outcomes. 4. You find yourself softening the conversation before it begins. What it looks like. You spend time thinking about how to phrase things so the person does not feel attacked. You edit your language down. You add qualifiers. By the time you say it, the problem sounds less serious than it is. Why it happens. You have learned, through experience, that this person responds to directness with either distress or defensiveness. So you adapt. This feels considerate. It is actually a sign that the relationship has drifted into a pattern where honesty is structurally avoided. Why it matters. A softened message about a recurring problem is almost never received as serious. The person hears that the situation is manageable rather than urgent. Nothing changes. What to do? Prepare what you need to say clearly before the conversation. Say the direct version, not the softened one. You can be kind and direct at the same time. If you consistently can't find that balance, how to address tension that keeps resurfacing after you thought it was resolved addresses this specific dynamic. This one is counterintuitive, and it took me years to see it in myself. Softening the message felt like compassion. It was actually a way of avoiding the discomfort of being fully honest. 5. There is no shared understanding of why the problem keeps happening. What it looks like. Both parties acknowledge the behavior is a problem, and both want it to stop. But neither of you has named the actual cause. The conversation describes what happened, without reaching why it keeps happening. Why it happens. Why conversations feel more confrontational than what happened conversations. People often avoid them instinctively, even when both parties want resolution. Why it matters. Without a shared understanding of the root cause, every commitment to change is a shot in the dark. The problem recurs not because the person lacks sincerity, but because the wrong thing is being fixed. What to do? Ask a genuine question rather than offering an explanation. What do you think keeps getting in the way? Give them time to actually answer. You may be surprised at what they already know about themselves. For a structured approach to this kind of root cause conversation, how unmet needs drive team conflict, and what to say to restore synergy offers a practical framework. 6. Consequences have never been named. What it looks like. The conversations have been respectful, the apologies have been sincere, the commitments have been made. But no one has ever said what happens if the behavior continues. Why it happens. Naming consequences feels like a threat. It changes the emotional tone of a conversation from collaborative to formal. Most people, especially those who value the relationship, avoid it. Why it matters. Without consequences, there is no urgency. The behavior sits in a category of serious, but not critical. The person may not even register that the situation has reached a different level. What to do? Be clear and direct. I want you to know that if this happens again, I will need to escalate it, or this has now affected the team's ability to trust the process, and we cannot absorb another occurrence. Say it once, say it plainly, and mean it. The deal method for resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy can help you structure this kind of conversation when the stakes are high. The root cause underneath all of it. Each of these signs is its own problem, but there is a single condition that produces most of them. The apology has been treated as the resolution, when the apology is actually just the opening of the real conversation. In most workplaces, we have learned that an apology followed by acceptance closes an incident. That is the social contract. The problem is that when the same incident keeps returning, it means the contract was never fulfilled. Something structural, habitual, or unspoken is driving the behavior, and no one has yet required it to be examined. The recurring problem apologies are a symptom. The disease is a conversation that has never fully happened. Is the cycle already established? A quick diagnostic. Read each statement and mark yes or no. The same behavior has occurred 3 or more times after an apology. You could predict before the conversation that an apology would come. The commitment made after the last apology was not specific or time-bound. You edited your message before the last conversation to soften its impact. Neither of you named the actual cause of the problem in your last conversation. No consequence for recurrence has ever been stated. You felt relief after the last apology, but not confidence that things had changed. Scoring. If you answered yes to two or fewer, the pattern is early, and a direct conversation can reset it. 3 to 4 yes answers mean the cycle is established, and the next conversation needs to shift its structure significantly. 5 or more means the apology ritual has replaced genuine accountability, and the next conversation must name the pattern itself before anything else. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What to say when the cycle has to end? The conversation that breaks the cycle is not longer or louder than the ones before it. It is more precise. Start by naming the pattern directly, without blame. I want to talk about something I have noticed across our last few conversations. The same issue keeps coming up, and I want to understand why. Because I do not think you're doing this deliberately. Then ask one real question and wait. What do you think is actually getting in the way? Do not fill the silence. When they answer, reflect back what you heard and move to a specific commitment. So if that is what is making this difficult, what is one concrete thing that would change before we next talk about this? Get a real answer. Write it down in front of them. Then name what happens if it recurs. Not as a threat. As clarity. I want you to know where this goes if we are having the same conversation again in a month. For fuller structure to take into this kind of conversation, how the deal method handles disagreements about feedback is worth reading before you sit down. And if the relationship has already fractured, the bridge method for rebuilding working relationships addresses what comes after. When two colleagues have stopped cooperating entirely, using the deal method to diffuse tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate covers that specific dynamic. Here is the truth of it recurring problem. Apologies do not end because the person finally means it enough. They end because someone finally has the conversation that was always needed. You can be the person who has it. You owe that to the relationship, to the team, and honestly to them. Frequently asked questions. What are recurring problem apologies in the workplace? Recurring problem apologies happen when a person apologizes for the same behavior repeatedly, but does not change it. The apology becomes a ritual rather than a genuine commitment. Trust erodes because words and actions remain disconnected over time. How do you address recurring problem apologies without damaging the relationship? Be direct about the pattern, not just the latest incident. Name what you have observed across multiple occurrences and ask what specifically will change this time. Focus the conversation on future behavior and concrete commitments rather than relitigating past apologies. What should you say when apologies have already been made, but the problem keeps recurring? Say something like the apology is not the issue, the pattern is. Ask what is making it hard to follow through, and what one specific change they will make before your next conversation. Make the commitment observable and time-bound. Why do recurring problem apologies keep happening even when people seem sincere? Sincerity and capability are different things. Someone can genuinely regret a behavior and still lack the awareness, skills, or support to change it. Their apology addresses the emotion of the moment. It rarely addresses the conditions that created the problem. When does a recurring apology become a performance issue? When the gap between the apology and the repeated behavior has been named, a specific commitment has been made, and the behavior still does not change, it becomes a performance issue. At that point, the conversation needs to include consequences, not just expectations. How many times should you accept an apology for the same problem at work? There is no fixed number, but the second time the same problem recurs after an apology, the conversation must shift. Stop accepting the apology as resolution and start asking what structural or behavioral change will prevent a third occurrence. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.